The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Yeah, every Friday we invite somebody into Studio 10 and ask them to guide us through the soundtrack to their lives. And this Friday in particular, it's the turn of Cathy Kelly.
Hello!
Hello! How are you?
I would just, we sounded like animals there. I have to tell you about sheep in a minute, but first of all, I must point out that I have a bad cold. I've had two flus and I'm snuffling. So
right, not, two flus.
Two flus, so I'm still snuffling. So
anybody can have one. You're greedy.
I know, I'm greedy.
And there was a break in the middle, obviously.
There was a little break in the middle. And
now, is it really flu?
Oh, well, they say the definition of flu is that if it was raining 50 euro notes in the garden, you wouldn't be able to go out and pick them up. And believe me, that was it.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're recuperating.
I'm recuperating, but I'm still snuffling. So I met a friend for a coffee in the radio centre and she said, "You're sniffling a lot." She said, "You better mention this or everyone will think you've got a cocaine habit." So under the circumstances, I thought I should mention.
Right.
Swear to God.
Book number 20.
Number 20.
That's a huge
and I'm still only 12.
Milestone, isn't it?
Who would have thought?
Congratulations.
Thank you. It never feels like a milestone to me. You know, I'm not very good at the self-congratulatory thing. You know, I wish I was. I wish I was able to say.
But you mentioned your main character in the book is Freya. She is reading Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
So I presume that you've read Eckhart Tolle,
well, I
have, by way of research.
I have. I read it a long time ago, and I think I may even have finished it. But yeah, I need to read it a few more times. I do try and live in the moment, in the now, but I do constantly go into the catastrophic future.
Do you?
Yeah, desperate.
And then do you not, like this, this started because you don't celebrate things in your life. Do you have an attitude of gratitude?
I do. I'm hugely, hugely grateful, but I'm very bad at taking the compliment type thing.
Yeah, well, that's just Irish, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I think that's a huge part of it. So when people say, "God, 20 books, that's amazing," I sort of go, "Ah, yeah, sure, you know, but like, whatever." And isn't the weather great?
Yeah, how many words is that?
I don't know. Well, years and years ago, books were bigger. I know this is going to sound wildly unscientific, but it isn't. And booksellers and publishers have found that people, and especially in these modern times when people's attention spans are not as shorter,
yeah.
That people like shorter books. So you could get away with a mammoth 230,000. I once had a book that was 230,000 books.
Pages.
Words.
Words, not 230,000 pages. Yeah,
and,
words.
And which was like, sure, it was a brick. You could hit a bird.
What was that one Jenny loved? And the Goldfinch, wasn't it?
Oh, the Goldfinch. Oh, that was the. Oh, yeah, it was.
That wasn't that huge.
That was. Oh, that was another brick.
Yeah.
See, that was a complete brick. Although, according to the Kindle people, only a very small percentage of people actually finish that. They can tell if people finish books.
That's of course they can.
Scary. I know. They know everything.
The advantage, I suppose, with reading a book like that on Kindle is that you don't know how big it is.
That is true. You keep going, I wonder how percentage along
Anyway, The Family Gift, book number 20. And it is notable, not only because it's your 20th book, but also because you write in the first person for the first time.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, is that more difficult?
Well, do you know what? I'd always written in the sort of the he said, she said, and
mode, yeah.
Yeah, and then suddenly I thought, for this book, I thought, will I give this a shot? And I said it to my lovely friend, Marion Keyes, and she said, "Oh God, yeah, yeah, go for it. She said, "I did it," and she has done it. And she said, "It was brilliant." And I went, "Okay." And it was a joy. You just belt along.
Yeah, because Freya is a 6 foot tall.
Yes.
Swedish.
Natural blonde. She's the opposite of me, basically.
Natural blonde. And she's a TV cook. A celebrity chef.
So basically the total opposite of me, because I'm 5 foot nothing and my hair is very blonde, but it's dyed. And I, as my family will testify, I can't cook. But it's, I think.
But is that fun, getting inside that body? That 6 foot tall body.
Total fun. And you can have so much, like the whole thing is fun. When you write, people always think, how much of you is in it? And I think all authors put, there's got to be a bit of you in the people you write.
Mm.
You know, you couldn't do it otherwise. It wouldn't be authentic.
Mm.
But you know, there's slivers of you in everything.
And then that brings us to a serious note, because I read your interview with Donal O'Donoghue in the RT Guide.
The amazing Donal O'Donoghue, yeah. Amazing RT Guide.
Lovely
Donal
man.
Could get, I tell you, he's amazing.
And Freya had a trauma in her life, and you drew on a trauma from your life.
Yeah.
And I know it's
no,
it's difficult, but you've been to therapy for it.
Yeah.
It happened when in your...
Oh, it happened when I was 20. And I had actually written about this before, but I never said that it was me and nobody picked up on it before. I can't remember what book was it, second book, third book, whatever book it was. And I wrote about it before, but you can write about deeply personal things and nobody notices. Mm. If that makes any sense.
Well, I think it does, because there are so many things in the book. Why would they pick out one and attach it to you?
True. And I think there is a belief with books which are categorised in a very negative way into women's fiction, which is somehow seen as lesser, that, this is dross or gross, or I never know how you pronounce that word. Therefore, there can't be any depth in it. But so I've written about a lot of deep things. But yes, I had written about this before. But what happened to me was a sort of a Me Too, not sort of a 100% a Me Too moment, which was devastating. And I think, like all victims of something like that, you are full of shame. I didn't tell anyone. One amazing person did try and help me, but at a later stage, and got into terrible trouble for their because of doing it. But I kept it to myself, and I just couldn't cope. I just went into a very dark place, and it took me a very long time to recover from it. But because I am possibly an actress in some levels, and I had this, I was very good at putting up a facade. I can put up one hell of a facade. Nobody ever believes when I sit down and I say, yeah, I suffer from severe anxiety and I've had depression, and people go, what? You're always so happy. So I put up an amazing facade to get through it. I didn't want to be a victim. And the reality is, as we still see every day, that women are victims in lots of sexual situations, and they aren't believed, or, I mean, the conviction rate is low.
Minuscule.
Yeah. So it's... I wouldn't have wanted to go through that. I wouldn't have known how to go through that at the age of 20.
Yeah. And when eventually then did you say, I have a problem here and I need to seek help?
It was probably, I tried to seek help when I was in my 20s, but even then I couldn't probably, I think I had a little bit of CBT,
or
cognitive behavioural therapy, which is sort of a...
Yeah.
You know, sort of a six slot session, which is quite fast and simple. And I couldn't open up. Even then, I couldn't open up. I was just too ashamed. And then later, you know, in my 40s, I went into it in proper depth with psychoanalysis, which is brilliant. Everyone should do psychoanalysis.
If you could afford it.
If you can afford, absolutely. If you can afford it, and I am.
But it worked. It worked.
Grateful every day. Well, I think you're left with, you know, you recover from these things and you go on.
Yeah.
Everything leaves a scar, but
and
you move on.
Because, you know, you mentioned Me Too already, and because there's been so much talk about it over the last, it must be nearly 3 years now. Mm. Was that triggering for you?
Like, very triggering.
Yeah.
I've actually bought the Ronan Farrow.
I don't read it. I wouldn't suggest you. I've read it.
Really?
And I'm reading, I don't know why I'm doing this, but now I'm reading another book called All the President's Women.
Oh.
About Donald Trump's behavior.
Oh, do you know what? You know, that man triggers me. No, he doesn't trigger me, actually. If I hear him on the radio, I turn him off. I often think radio stations have copped on to that now. And they don't play his actual voice so much. I do wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, but Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow is an amazing book.
It's a stunning book. I've read a lot. I've actually read a massive amount about sexual abuse and so on and so forth. So I can do it. I can, but yes, it is triggering. I suppose the idea is you keep reading it and you keep learning something new, and I don't know whether that's good.
And is there any consolation to the fact that it was there was an epidemic of it? Is that any consolation whatsoever?
It makes you very angry. I think it
I mean for you that you weren't
Yes. Oh no, there's a huge consolation, because when you meet other people who've gone through the same thing, that's actually phenomenal. And you know, since I've started speaking about it, so many people have said it to me, and that's wonderful is perhaps the wrong word.
No,
but it's very
it's consolation.
Yes, it's a huge consolation, and you're not the only person, and you learn so much about what they went through is similar to what you went through. So there's an enormous power, and when I say sisterhood, this happens to men too. I mean, it's
not as much.
Not as much. Absolutely, but it does.
I don't think it'll happen to the same extent again. I think there's been a seismic shift.
I hope so.
And the other thing is that there are a lot more women now in positions of power. Hopefully they won't abuse their positions of power, but then they will call out this behaviour.
The only thing I would say though, Ray, is the rates of femicide are actually staggering. For example, I was reading a thing recently, a friend of mine who has gone through stalking brought it to my attention. Now, there's no stalking legislation in this country, right? And with stalkers, there is this amazing UK psychoanalyst has done, she works within the criminal field, has this 8-point plan, this 8-point way of looking at when a stalker is moving into a whole different ball game, right? Because most women who are killed by people they know, and quite often boyfriends, husbands, previous boyfriends, as in the case of a certain number of stalkers. And this woman has done this research where she finds out where you can pinpoint at what level the stalker is at and when he becomes dangerous.
Yes, yeah. Now, the legislation in this country has changed quite recently. So there is now an offence for example, psychological abuse. And, you know, so I maybe stalking might come under that, because it's only quite recently, as in last year.
Okay, but it was for a very long time. It was sort of interfering with. It's still very, it's still very woolly.
And we'll have to look into that.
Okay, right. We need to look into that.
Okay, we went down there.
We went down that rabbit hole.
I'm delighted that you went to therapy and that you're out the other side. And some other time you come in and we'll have a longer chat about that. But you're here to guide us through the soundtrack to your life. So you were married to Paddy and Gay in 1916.
I was born to Paddy and Gay.
Married, sorry.
Oh yeah, Paddy and Gay, 1966. No, I'm very honest about how old I am, because it's everywhere. Oh, getting away from it. I'm 53 for anyone who is like myself and does their sums on their fingers.
So where did Paddy and Gay meet?
They met in Dublin. My mum is from the west of Ireland. My father, who's now dead, God rest him, was from Dublin. And they met in Dublin. Mum had come to work in Dublin. And they met and they got married, and then they went, my father worked in insurance, and they went to work with his company in London, and they had my brother, Francis, older than me. And then they went to Belfast, where then I appeared, but I was only there for a year, which is why I do not have the accent. People are always astonished I don't have the accent, but I try and do my good impersonation of the accent, but I won't do it now in case I offend the entire province. And then came down to Dublin, where my sister was born 7 years later.
So what did your dad do that he was moving around the place?
Well, he was working in insurance, but they were the only moves. It was just happened to be the time, and he was youngish within the company. And they
so there was your older brother, you, and
Lucy. Yeah.
So just three.
A terrible crush on you. But anyway, we won't. Listen, and we lived up Sandyford Road.
All right.
Yeah, it's all coming out now.
So what was the childhood like?
It was great. It was a childhood of sort of dogs and books. We were all mad into books. We were in three libraries at a time. The only problem would be actually giving the books back. Quite often the books would get lost in the sort of the house, household books. And that was wonderful. And then for summer holidays, we'd go down the country to my grandmother and my godfather, Matt, and we'd have a great time. And I was the chicken whisperer, and I'm not doing that again. I can do a very good chicken noise, but we'll stay away from that. By the way...
You said sheep earlier on. You've forgotten about that.
Sheep apparently are very good at reading emotions in other animals and in humans.
Sheep are.
You see?
Right.
There you go.
Have you ever heard a happy moo from a cow?
I don't know. I love cows. Aren't they? They're lovely. You know, calves, if you put your hand in their mouth and they're, you know, suckling the way they think is they're suckling their the mother's teeth.
Yes.
Although don't let your hand go all the way back in or you get a bite because of the teeth at the back.
Okay. You know a lot about this.
I know a lot.
Right. Okay. Now, sounds from your childhood. This is a song. It's not a sheep or a cow.
I'm dying to hear this. Which
this one here.
Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long and gone, old Constantinople still is Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal
that was released in 1953.
I know what you're saying. How does she have that? Well, we had one of those compilation things that had a selection of mad songs on it, including like the Yellow Rose of Texas and a lot of other deranged songs that I didn't fancy. But they had this, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
I found it on Spotify recently and I was like, oh, wonderful. And I made the boys listen to it. I've twin boys of 16 and they were like, yeah, okay.
Well, there's a more modern version of it. Well, when I say modern, I mean the 90s or the early noughties. They Might Be Giants.
Oh, yeah, I remember They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
And they had one.
They had a version of it, yeah, which is quite good. Maybe try out the twins with that when you go home.
I tried that out, yeah. They've gone.
So you had the compilation, which was probably threadbare because you played it so often.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, you know, people didn't have records or
record collection. They had
They had like six and they, you know, got a big going over. Like we had, my father was into jazz,
right.
You know, but he was into 1920s jazz, which is a very specific thing, which I have subsequently grown into. I love jazz. I write to jazz. But we also had, my mother was into Pat Boone, who I hated. God, mother, I'm sorry, Mom.
He was a crooner, sort of coiffed hair. And
I know, I just couldn't be into it. There was 40 of them. Sorry, Mom, I know you look papoon. Although she likes Mike. That's lovely country and western.
Mike Denver.
Mike, someone will remember it for us.
Mike English.
No. Actually, no good. We'll have to get her. Mom, ring in and tell us which Mike is.
Is he Irish?
Yes, he's Irish. I got.
Sounds like...
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there, right. Okay. So that was your record collection.
Had Swan Lake, a double-side Tchaikovsky, and I used to dance around.
Look at you.
Pretend
you're
I
posh.
Was the ballerina.
And were you a performer then? Was that?
I didn't perform anything. I think I did ballet for about 1 year when I was in national school and Irish dancing for 2 or 3 years. And I was brutal at the Irish dancing.
If you encountered yourself now as a 3 or 4 year old, how would you describe yourself? How would you describe that little 3 or 4 year old?
I don't know. One of the things I can remember is being maybe four. And clearly there was some sort of performing gene in me because into ballet, we were doing this thing up in Benilde's school and, you know, we had been about 8 years rehearsing it. And on the day, my parents are sitting there for, you know, 3 solid hours of ballet and, you know, me and the Dance of the Little Flowers, we go in and we go out. And I had got the lipstick beforehand and I had this big smear of lipstick all over. So I, you know, even then, that's what I could imagine.
Right. And dogs were...
Dogs were wonderful. I know we had a beautiful dog called Velvet and I used to sit in her bed and when my brother went to school and I'd read her stories. I don't know if I was reading or if I was just remembering. The way kids do.
Yes.
You know. And one.
What age were you at that?
Well, say 3.
Right.
I mean, I did know my letters and I could read when I reached a certain point of being 3.
What type of dog was Velvet?
Red Setter.
Oh, yeah.
And I named her.
You don't see many red setters around these days.
No, because they're stone mad.
Oh, are they?
They're beautiful. And they are, like we had, she was our first and we ended up having 3. But they are mad as bicycles. Beautiful, beautiful.
Because remember the red setter was the emblem of the
I know,
of Bus Aaron.
Bus Aaron, I know, it was lovely. I didn't know how they must have had that dog very well trained because with the red setter, you let it off the lead. There was no way it was ever coming back till the mood took it.
And have you any idea what their history is? Were they hunt dogs or what sort?
You know, the gun dogs.
Gun dogs, yes.
Yeah, but we always had ones who were gun shy. They came from the West and we always got them because they were gun shy. We got one who was A, gun shy, and B, could not be bred from. So she turned up and my mother said, that dog is pregnant. And, you know, a local vet said, no, no, it's a phantom pregnancy, which does happen.
Does it?
Yeah, right. And then so she had 11 phantom pups not that long later.
Did she?
Yeah, and every child in the road came in to have a look at the phantom pups.
And the day after, she came in with a rifle in her paw.
Oh, no, those little babies.
Yeah, yeah. So three, was it a busy house? What sort of a house was it?
It was busy enough. I mean, we lived in a housing estate and, you know, kids be in and out and all the time. And my mum was brilliant with kids and all the kids loved to be, you know, right. In and out.
Yeah. So as you got a bit older then, went into secondary school, discovered boys and all that.
Well, I didn't really discover.
Did you not?
It took me a long time to discover boys. I'm a nerd.
You were a nerd.
Oh, I was a total nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a total absolute signed up nerd. Yeah, I spent all my time in the library.
I read a piece recently about that you know, that word has been used in a derogatory way, and it's used in bullying.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I think I got away with. Oh no, even then, being a nerd, I don't think they used the word nerd. I think it's a much more modern word. But I was. What was I? I can't remember the words they used to.
Brainy.
Use. Yeah, you're brainy. And, yeah. You know, but certainly there was. It was derogatory, and you know, but I slightly got away with it because I was a bit wacky. Okay, as you can see, it's followed me through.
So you're nerdy, wacky.
Nerdy, wacky.
Right.
And okay. Also, you know, I would help people with their art homework and, you know, and clearly not charge for it because I've never had a bit of cop on in me. Ever.
Right. Okay. We're talking to Cathy Kelly. She's guiding us through the soundtrack to her life. I think we're up to age 11 or 12 now.
Oh, my God.
We'll continue with more after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of your winter coughs and colds at All Care, your local community pharmacy.
Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Writer Cathy Kelly is guiding us through the soundtrack to her life. SWAT.
SWAT.
What is the old word for nerd?
Yes, SWAT. Yeah, no, absolutely. A SWAT.
Yeah,
that would have been.
And
a
you
nice
said
one.
What was the other one you said during the break? There, brain box.
Brain box. Yeah.
I'll be singing Istanbul all day. Thank you. I think. just in case it's gone. Let's give it another loud blast there.
Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Old Constantinople still is Turkish delight on a moonlit night.
There you go.
You sort of imagine, I've never seen the guys, but I imagine sort of like four guys all looking like, you know, Dean Martin in suits. Sort of.
Yeah, the Rat Pack. Yeah, I think it might have been. The Four Lads, that's what it was called, yeah. Four Lads. Love Cathy Kelly. Her books have gotten me through the best and worst times in my life.
Oh,
she's so gifted.
Thank you.
That's Maureen Longford. And love Cathy, she's gas. I buy a book of hers before every holiday.
Thank you.
You write a book a year.
I write a book a year, and I'm currently writing one. Sort of slowly and fast, and you know, in
21st.
Yeah, number 21.
When did the writing start?
Well, I always loved writing. I used to tell my little sister, I used to tell my Teddy's stories before my sister came along. I used to tell my little sister stories in bed when she came along. I was the horrible one. I used to be morto, as they say, that they'd read out, you know, send me around to classes to read out my essays, you know. So I was always that person. But I didn't know you could do it as a job. I mean, for a long time I wanted to be a jockey, and I am certainly short enough.
And where did that come from?
Being a jockey.
Yeah.
I loved horses. And down the country now, my godfather, beautiful Matt, got us a horse, but it was an unbroken horse. And and we had no saddle. But this is survival riding, I tell you. By God, Ray,
What you call it, survival riding?
Survival riding. I can stay on a horse. But I love animals. I love animals, full stop. But no, I don't think I'd actually like to have been a jockey now when I think about it.
Yeah. But the writing, so your essays were notable.
Well, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure.
And you enjoy doing it.
I loved doing it.
And then, as we know, the key to a happy life
is to do what you love.
Yeah.
But I ended up doing journalism, and because, you know, I left school when I was 17. I started school when I was young. So you're there. Sure, who knows what you want to do, for God's sake. It's like, you know.
What did you do in college?
I did journalism in DIT in Rathmines. At the time, it was a 2-year certificate course. And I only got in because somebody, I didn't get in. There were 25 places. And then somebody changed their mind and I got the last place. I'm blathering on here.
No, you're not. I was just...
Sorry, I'm desperate.
They're flashing something up. Just say we have a 2-minute break to take before 4 o'clock, but we're plenty of time.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I'll watch the clock too.
That was particularly difficult to get into, that course.
It was very difficult to get into. Yeah. So I wasn't in the slightest bit surprised when I didn't get into it. You had to do an interview as well. So I was trying to be thrilling and exciting and fabulous. And anyway, because clearly I didn't do well enough. But someone, I must have been number 26th on the list, and someone... left and or didn't take up the place, and I got it. So I missed the first week, and then I was there. I was in college.
And when you got to that stage, it was journalism then.
Yeah.
It wasn't books in your head, or was that always the dream?
See, books was the... I didn't have a 5-year plan. You know those people who have a 5-year plan?
I mean, I don't know many of them, to be honest.
No, neither do I. Yeah. You know, like I never had any sort of a plan. It was like, let's see what happens. And I thought, well, I like writing, we'll do this. And I went into college completely convinced that everyone would be like me and would be reading like maniacs. And they weren't. I mean, there were some people who read hugely, but, you know, very, very few. It was a different sort of thing. And so I spent a lot of time in the college library the way I had spent it in the school library.
You know, reading.
Because yeah. there was a shyness in me behind the sort of the mad facade.
Yes. And you found comfort in books.
Yeah.
And you could go places.
You're never alone. You're never alone with a book.
Yeah. So were you constantly then, because I've spoken to people before who do a certain thing and they're constantly playing it out in their heads until eventually they do it.
Yeah.
Were you planning books in your head, and were you looking at people and going, they'd be a great character for a book, or that person, or that what happened to me the other day, I could include that in a book?
Yes, I think I was always planning it. When I was in college, my mum and I decided we were going to write a book together. We were going to write a Mills and Boone.
Aha, because they're writers for hire, aren't they?
Yeah, they're writers for hire. And it's an amazing skill. I mean, people slag it desperately. It's a phenomenal skill. And there's some wonderful Irish Mills and Boone writers. And... you know, we had an old golf ball secondhand typewriter that had the E was a bit dodgy, and my mother couldn't type at the time. So she'd write, you know, longhand, and I'd go to college and I'd come home and she'd have written, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then heroine goes into room, describe room. I was supposed to describe the room. So it didn't entirely work out. Now, we had a great laugh while we were doing it.
And then you submitted it.
Oh, Lord, we didn't get that far.
Sure. Oh, no, you didn't.
I think we realised it was...
And what about when it came to the... romantic scenes, you write with your mother.
There wasn't, nothing happened.
All right.
It was sort of like Barbara Cartland. It was
long lingering looks.
There were long lingering looks. Now, I mean, I believe there's some very hot modern ones that I haven't had a look at. But
now, I haven't read them, I just read about them.
Yeah, okay. I know, we all believe you.
No, but we actually interviewed her. Her name escapes me, but there is
a wonderful Irish writer.
Who writes for Mills and Boone.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? All people who write for a living, who make their living writing, should be, you know, treated with absolute respect.
Yeah.
I can't bear this differentiation between this is high art, this is low art. Let's stop that, or get me poisonous toad from the Amazon, and it'll all be horribly wrong.
Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this commercial break, because if not, we'll be punished, penalised, and we have to pay a fine. So I'll get this out of the way, and then we'll have a couple more minutes to talk before Nocht.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Taking care of a healthier you for 2020 at Allcare Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So college, Sunday World, 20 books. There you go.
That's me. I'm going now.
That's you. The late Maeve Binchy, would you have been in her company a lot?
I wouldn't have been in her company a lot. I met her quite a few times and I thought she was fantastic. I mean, she was the absolute queen. I know people always use that word. I'm sorry, I shouldn't use it. But she was so brilliant, and she wasn't possibly respected enough because of her complete ability to describe something in 10 words that it would take someone else 50 words to do it. So she was phenomenal. I loved her.
Mm-hmm. And the late Emma Hannigan, you were very close.
We were, you know, she was my best friend, and, you know, my heart is broken. But for her, I feel I shouldn't say my heart's broken, but her wonderful
family. Your heart could be, it is broken.
But, you know, I still have her number on my phone and I look at it, and the number of times I think, I'll ring Em and I'll tell you that. And I went, oh, I can't ring Em. An amazing, amazing person. You can't begin to describe how amazing she was, because basically to spend 11 years within the aegis of cancer and to keep going and to write books and to look after her beautiful family. And she literally hung on there till her children were as old as she possibly could be. I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah, amazing woman, amazing woman. We spoke to her dad in here. He's a,
you know, oh, Philip.
Yeah, lovely man.
Beautiful Philip.
And I said to him at the time that I used to be out in his house with Timmy.
Yes.
Recording Timmy. Songs for Zig and Zag, etc. And my memory of them is that they used to have that Ramboots or Rambo's coffee.
Yes.
It's a little container that you put on top of the.
I thought that was the last.
Pure posh.
Yeah,
pure
that
posh.
Was wicked posh, yeah.
Pure posh. Yeah. Anyway, so I mentioned it to him while we were chatting, and then a couple of days later, a box of them arrived into the office.
That would be Philip. Oh, yeah, he's just an amazing man.
Yeah. Just on the red setter, Mitch says, the Irish setter painting on the bus Aaron was by my sister.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful artist.
Correct myself. Sister-in-law, Kathleen Bride, and was based on a dog called Guinness. A lovely dog, says Mitch. And really enjoying the show, listening to the youthful and energetic Cathy Kelly. And thanks for speaking to Cathy. I went to therapy in my 60s. And thanks, Cathy, for speaking out. It made a big difference. And back in the 90s, the then journalist with the Sunday World did an article about my then 3-year-old son, Patrick, in Crumlin Hospital. As a result, he got to go to Disney Orlando and had his day in the sun. He died the following year. Thank you, Cathy, for giving him that sunny day.
God, that's
Patrick Sr. from Clondalkin.
Patrick, love. I mean, your beautiful little boy. He's in your heart. He'll always be in so many people's hearts. Oh, that's just wonderful.
That's a sad but lovely memory. We got, you know, to bits and pieces of the soundtrack to your life. You can have a choice, because music was obviously a big part of your life. So I'll give you a choice of three bits of songs there. Rebel Rebel by David Bowie, Le Freak by Chic, or Betty Boo, Doing the Do.
Well, I'll tell you, can we do a teeny bit of Rebel Rebel, which is when I was 15 and I fell in love with David Bowie and I found out I could dance. Well, I don't know if other people would say I could dance, but I felt I could dance, and it was just, I still dance. And to the horror of my beautiful sons, but Rebel Rebel.
They're listening. Dancing with the Stars are listening now. There you go. Next year.
No.
The call will be in.
I'm too arthritic and ancient and I'm not.
You're ancient. Only in your 50s.
I know. No, sorry. I never actually say that. No, I am seriously arthritic. No, I would love to do it, but
you can dance.
I don't know if I can dance.
Right, give us a look there.
Training at all now. You know. Rebel, rebel.
Cathy Kelly, it's been a real pleasure having you in to guide us through the soundtrack to your life. The Family Gift is your 20th book.
Da, 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 da.
You know that, I'm just telling our listeners. Honest, funny, clever, I loved it, says Marion Keyes. Well, she is a friend of yours.
She is, exactly so.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Cathy.
Ireland.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.